Morning Meeting, brought to you by Verizon. Come home to a better network.
Well, guys, this is the way you go into a bye.
You got to find a way to get Jacksonville on the schedule.
Right, yeah.
A bye was a way to go into a bye.
Double bye? Double
We've had a lot of double byes in recent years.
All right, I know a lot of people did say that before the game. I was a little surprised that Jacksonville
put up as much of a fight as they did.
Didn't put up as much of a fight as I thought they would. And is that just a testament to these Patriots are maybe even better than we thought they were?
Well, and Jacksonville was a little banged up, a little undermanned, and they are a team that's searching. They're young. They have, you know, first and second year players at every key position offensively, and defensively they're limited. So it wasn't, I mean, this was, you know, the boys, the men playing with the little boys on the playground. So, yeah, I think the Patriots are better than we expected this early in the season. The offense is clicking better. But Jags stink.
You know, a little bit of everything was true. You know, the Patriots, I think they are better. Offensively, definitely better than I thought they were going to be. We talked about that a little last week. And Jacksonville, like Andy said, is just probably not ready for that kind of a situation. Some of their veteran players, like Mercedes Lewis, tweeted out earlier in the day, you know, any given Sunday. So clearly,
not this one.
You know, they weren't ready for the spot that they found themselves in. But at the same time,
there were. You could look at that two ways. Yeah. I think he was quite ready for what he was going to get later.
Yeah, there was some sluggishness early. You know, to your point, you thought that Jacksonville would put up a fight. Well, you know, with a minute and a half left in the first half, it was 13-3, and Jacksonville's got the ball on your side of the field. So, you know, that interception by Devin McCourty really changed the tone of the remainder of the game. I think it ended up right where we all thought it was going to end up, but that was the play that ended the game.
It was a little bit like the first game, the home opener against Pittsburgh, where, you know, the Patriots were moving the ball and really only stopping themselves. They did not punt the entire day.
Correct.
You know, Ryan Allen.
So it really is a continuation of this offense just clicking on all cylinders and, you know, making mistakes here and there, but really dictating the tempo of the game.
And I found it interesting that they played their first 60-minute game, which was what they had wanted to do, by not everybody playing their first 60-minute game. They kind of pulled off a little bit with the passing game, brought LeGarrette Blount in, ran the ball. He got three touchdowns in the second half. Gronk played sparingly in the second half as only really a blocker. Deion Lewis got swapped out for James White. I mean, they kind of managed things a little bit differently, and by the end of the game, it was, you know,
we
letter
saw
day.
Keyshawn Martin in
right.
there.
So, you know, they played it differently, and it played into a blowout and a 60-minute game in a different way than maybe they even expected.
Yeah, I mean, and you mentioned Deion Lewis. He continues to just, you know, produce when he's out there, and you know, I think they found themselves, I think they're number one back. What do you think? Do you think that right now, even with Blount coming back, he's now the number one back?
Well, I think when you're asking the Patriots to play offense the way they normally would, that Deion Lewis is your number one back. I think there's very few occasions where they're going to try to line up and play power football, and in those occasions, it will be Blount.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just don't think...
Later in the season.
Yeah, yep. I don't think you see too many examples of that where it's like Indianapolis the last couple of years where they want to run the football and try to, you know, even be a little bit more balanced. Usually they're throwing it all over the yard. And when they're doing that, Deion Lewis to me is the better option. And we've seen that through three games. And Andy's right. You look at it this week, he's ascended so far that he's getting most of the second half off.
Right. And
good for James White. Got a chance to get out there, and he made some plays too. So clearly they have some weapons here.
Even this week, I would say, well, who was the number one back? If you just read the stats, it was LeGarrette Blount because he had the most carries, the most
carries,
touchdowns,
yep.
the most yards.
Right.
But the guy on the field in the first half when they were building a lead and doing what they wanted to do game plan-wise was Deion Lewis.
Are you at all surprised that at this point they're still rotating in and out with the offensive line? Game three, it's still a seven-man rotation.
Not really, because it's worked so well. And it's worked well against questionable competition. It's worked well against pretty good competition in the Bills. And even I think the front of that defense is probably the strength of the Jags defense. And why not get those guys experience if you can? Because you will have decisions at some point as you sort of fall into place later in the year. But it's working. Why screw with it?
So going into the bye, it's usually a time to self-scout. Not a lot of data there to self-scout, and not a lot of data there to scout ahead at
right.
teams because they've only played three games so far. So what do you do this week?
Well, the good thing is that you go into it on a high. You know, you're 3-0, and as Andy said, you played your first 60-minute game, you know, in the third game. So you really go into the bye feeling really good about yourself. And you're right, there's not a ton of data out there on the other teams or on your team, so you sort of fine-tune things, you tweak things. You know, if you get any little nagging injuries, you give a little week to catch up. You know, I thought it was interesting earlier in the week when Belichick said, even though it's early, we all look at it, you know, week four, you don't need a bye. No NFL player has ever said we don't need a bye.
Right.
So you take advantage of it as best you can.
And he also mentioned, and I hadn't really looked at it this way, they've been going straight through since July, whereas a lot of other teams kind of had that time between cutdowns, end of camp, and the opener. They had a little extra time in there. Starting on a Thursday, you lost those 3 or 4 days that would have been extra time in there.
Okay.
So this may be the first break, and maybe it works out for them the way their schedule was set up as the defending champs.
All right, so coming out of the bye, Dallas, and then I don't want to look ahead too far, but...
Yes, you do.
The Colts. Can't wait.
Pretty much from the moment Jordan Richards stepped on the field at training camp, the rookie second-round pick looked like he belonged. He looked like he had a physical style not unlike that of Patrick Chung, another safety who plays a little bit more like a linebacker and likes to get near the line of scrimmage. It was easy to see a role for Richards in a game where you were going to face the run. And that's exactly what we saw on Sunday against Jacksonville, a team that wanted to come in here, try to play keep away, and try to run T.J. Yeldon. It didn't work. And I'm not saying it was because of the play of Jordan Richards, but I am saying that I liked what I saw. He was around the football, did a lot of things around the line of scrimmage, a definite physical guy. I want to see more of that. You know, every week I do these points and I talk about all the offensive and defensive guys that are standing out and drawing admiration. And I never really talk about the kickers. Steven Gostkowski is absolute money for the Patriots right now. He just set the record for the most extra points without a miss. He's making field goals. He's drawing touchbacks every time he kicks the ball off. And it doesn't matter about the new rules. He still just produces. His consistency really stands out. Signed that big contract extension in the offseason and he was worth every penny of it. On defense, we saw some changes with personnel on Sunday against Jacksonville, and I liked some of what I saw in the secondary. Justin Coleman in, Bradley Fletcher out. I don't know a lot about Coleman. It was a small sample size, but I liked the way he played. Liked to get physical with the receivers, like a challenge, not unlike Malcolm Butler on the other side. Challenge the receivers. Don't necessarily give them that free release. Yes, he got beat a little bit by Allen Robinson, a good solid receiver. It wasn't perfect, but he did enough. I want to see a little bit more of Justin Coleman.
Coming up on Patriots Football Weekly.
What's your favorite part of Disney? Favorite ride?
I'm not a big ride guy. I just let my son enjoy it all.
Patriots Football Weekly is brought to you by Pepsi, official soft drink of the New England Patriots. Putnam Investments is a proud partner of the New England Patriots, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork.
Images of the week from a big 51-17 win over the Jaguars. This first one is Jordan Richards just taking the receiver out of bounds. Keyshawn Martin made his Patriots debut and had his first touchdown catch. Matthew Slater had an excellent play on a fake punt return.
Players' Perspective, brought to you by Putnam Investments, pursuing performance excellence through new ways of thinking.
Joined now in the Gillette Stadium locker room by Jabal Sheard, Patriots defensive end. And let's start with the big win last week. Seems like you've been getting a lot of action in various different spots, inside, outside. How are you getting comfortable in this Patriots defense?
Just doing whatever coach asks me to do. You know, just going in there and trying to play my role and just make plays.
Do you like lining up inside against guards and centers? I mean, do you feel like you have a speed athleticism advantage in there sometimes you can have some fun with?
It's definitely something I never thought about before, but, I mean, I'm getting used to it slowly. And the more we practice it, the more I think I like it.
It seemed like last week one of the goals against T.J. Yeldon and the Jaguars was to take away the run, make them one-dimensional. You guys had struggled a little bit the first couple weeks. How did you feel that went?
We did a lot better, much better job this week of taking care of the run, obviously. But it's something we got to continue to improve throughout the course of the year.
Obviously, heading into the bye week this week, what's the plan of attack, not just football-wise, but for you personally and your body and all that?
Definitely go back, take a little time off, let your body heal. But at the same time, you got to still kind of have football in the back of your mind a little bit. It's a big week, you know what I mean, with Dallas. So I'll definitely be studying a little bit, but at the same time, enjoying the family, probably be out in probably Disney World at Halloween Horror Nights.
Oh, nice. So what's your favorite part of Disney, favorite ride?
I'm not a big ride guy. I just let my son enjoy it all.
How come no rides? You get sick or scared? Or
It's all the same thing. I get sick. Not really scared. I get more sick than anything. I'm a motion sick guy.
Oh, okay. I wanted to ask you a little bit about Deion Lewis because he's the, I don't want to say flavor of the month here, but he has wowed people in New England right off the bats. You go way back to him, to Pitt.
What do you remember from him in college, and does this surprise you at all, what he's been able to do?
Nah, man, it kind of reminds me of Pitt, actually. It's like deja vu sometimes out there on the field, hearing his voice. Yeah, I mean, Deion Lewis with this much, you know what I mean? So it's kind of like the same thing. I mean, he's been capable of doing that. I think he just really got his opportunity, and he was waiting to shine.
Do you sort of empathize with defenders? Because I'm assuming on the practice field at Pitt and on the practice field here, you've seen those little cuts, those jump cuts, those quick moves. He makes people look silly. Yeah. And I'm sure you've been through that. You felt it. Glad you don't do it on the game field.
Yeah, exactly. I never really had to worry about that. I can't remember too many times where he broke me in practice. But, I mean, he was always hard to tackle. Being a small guy and shifty. But, sometimes I do feel bad for those guys on the other side trying to tackle him.
Okay, Jabal Sheard, enjoy the bye. I know you can dominate guards and centers, but apparently sometimes rides at parks can give you a problem, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Thanks, man.
No problem.
Obviously, no matchups to talk about this week in From the Heart, so we'll look at the Patriots with a little closer magnifying glass, and I want to start with Keyshawn Martin. Made his debut against the Jaguars just less than 2 weeks, actually. Since arriving from Houston in trade, and guess what? 3 catches, 33 yards, a 13-yard touchdown. Tom Brady was celebrating with him after the score. Sort of flies in the face of it takes a long time to build a rapport with Tom Brady. A little extra pressure maybe on Aaron Dobson as Keyshawn Martin, instant impact. As Fred pointed out earlier in the show, not a lot of data to go on for either self-scouting on the Patriots or advanced scouting on future opponents. But one thing we do know that's coming, the PUP guys. Brandon LaFell, Brian Stork, and Chris Jones, they're right around the corner. A couple weeks from now after that Colts game, that's when those guys can start practicing, eligible to rejoin the roster. Guess what? Patriots aren't even all that banged up at the bye week, and the reserves, they're on the way. Bill Belichick made a trade this week, added Jonathan Bostic, linebacker from the Bears. Former second-round pick, started 17 games over his first couple seasons. Banged up, hasn't played this year, but adds some depth on the linebacker depth chart. And Bill Belichick's been very active all summer, quite frankly, in the trade department. When his team looks like it needs something, he's gone and gotten it. Trade deadline approaching, the cornerback position, fans still lust after that number one or number two corner. Will Bill be active? Stay tuned.
Coming up on Patriots Football Weekly.
Everything is great. Positive. They're 3-0, they're scoring all these points. These young
Everything
guys
are being awesome.
Patriots Football Weekly is brought to you by Ace Ticket, the official fan travel partner of the Patriots. For information, call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. New England Football Night is presented by AT&T, mobilizing your world.
On Sunday, Cam Newton was involved in a play where he felt he was hit late, but didn't get the call. After the game, he claimed referee Ed Hockley told him at the time, "You're not old enough to get that call." Hockley denies saying that, but the video clearly shows Hockley saying something to Newton and Newton reacting as if to say, "Wait, what?" And it's hard to believe Newton would make that up out of thin air. All Hockley had to say was, "Yeah, I absolutely said that and I was absolutely joking, but I understand how in the moment Cam would not find it humorous. I apologize." That would have ended it. Instead, Hockley insists he didn't say it, and now the league is investigating. My God, does anyone at the league tell the truth anymore?
Every year, it seems fans are complaining about the lack of quarterback play around the league, and they're right. There aren't enough good quarterbacks to go around, and certainly when the backups get in there, it doesn't get any better. But here's the thing. Even bad quarterbacks can look good when you're playing defense the way you're forced to play defense in today's NFL. It's almost like 7-on-7. You see in Dallas, Brandon Weeden gets in there. He completes 22 of 26 passes. You get Luke McCown in New Orleans completing over 30 passes. These are bad quarterbacks that are made to look good, and it's all because of the rules. Like I said, it's really a glorified practice. It's 7-on-7. You can't touch the receivers. You can't touch the quarterback. Even backups are looking good in today's NFL.
The Miami Dolphins are floundering like a beached whale in the AFC East. 1-2 could easily be 0-3, and we all know who to blame. No, not Joe Philbin, even though that's what the masses are saying. Look higher on the Dolphins' organizational depth chart and look at owner Stephen Ross. A couple years ago, he was sneaking around in pursuit of Jim Harbaugh. You know what that message sends? You don't really like your coach, and yet 2 years later, you still have the same coach. He has no power. He's not a leader of men. You're not going to win with him. You sent that message, except you kept the coach.
Trash Talk, brought to you by Waste Management. Remodeling or just have clutter to get rid of? Waste Management's new Baxter dumpster in a bag can take it on. Visit thebaxter.com for more info.
A lot has gone right for the Patriots to open the new season, but through 3 weeks of action, what's been the biggest surprise?
I got to go with the rookie offensive lineman here. But this is, you know, the beauty of these. We can't get in trouble because everything is great.
Positive.
They're 3-0. They're scoring all these points. These young guys are fitting
awesome.
In. I got to go with the offensive line, though. David Andrews especially, undrafted rookie free agent in the middle of that Patriots offensive line, handling all the checks, all the calls with Tom Brady. And they haven't had in three games, I can't recall one complete and utter bust. I haven't seen one guy just come flying through the middle, completely unaccounted for. David Andrews, my biggest surprise.
Andrews been impressive. Trencher's been impressive. But to me, it's Deion Lewis. And I said it, you know, he is a guy that is competitive with some of the most productive players in the National Football League through 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. And he's a guy I didn't fall in line with. Oh, somebody will replace Shane Vereen. It'll be fine. You know, Brady will find somebody who will work with him. You did say that, and you were right. But I think that's disrespectful to Deion Lewis and what he's brought to the table. He has been phenomenal. He makes people miss in space. He's actually lowered the shoulder a few times to score touchdowns. He's fallen right in line with Brady in the pass protection. There seems to be no lack of comfort there. He's been the best runner on the team. He's been one of the best pass catchers on the team. He has been the key to the offense, not named Gronk. And that's phenomenal for by the way, did you know he wasn't in football last year?
I do.
He wasn't good
that.
Enough to be on any team last year, but he's good enough to help the Patriots
win.
He's
also had his share of injuries, and I think that was part of the reason why he wasn't in it. And I think everything you said about Deion Lewis is correct. I think he's been really, really good. And what I have been surprised about him is his ability to run the ball, and like you said, lower the shoulder. But I have to admit, I did fall in that line. I fell into that trap that it's, you know, it's Danny Woodhead, it's Kevin Faulk, it's Shane Vereen, it's whoever happens to be in that role is going to be productive, and I thought somebody would emerge, and whether it was James White or, as it's been, Deion Lewis, I thought someone would. I didn't know you could just snap your fingers and plug anyone into the offensive line. Last year, it was a mess, Andy.
That was actually the exception.
I
more
know,
often
but
than
it was
not
a
over
mess,
the years.
And I was expecting at least
some
struggles.
You remember Warren Sapp at a Super Bowl, you're going to start Russ Hochstein? Oh, my God. Like, yeah, and it's fine. And you start anybody. Right? Brandon Gorin, the list is long, and it goes back to 2001. They have had horrific offensive, that's not very nice, underperforming offensive linemen, lesser knowns, start, and they never missed a beat. Last year was the only time they missed a beat.
But one or two guys.
They only missed a beat once.
This is the entire middle. There's been times they've had three rookies at left guard, center, and right guard. And they have not missed a beat. I think you're right. And I'm sorry, that surprised me more than anything else I've seen so far. And I want to focus on Andrews just because of the burden that the center takes on. And just to have it be so seamless, and again, with a guy like Tom Brady that expects so much and demands so much, it's not an easy offense.
He snaps the ball, boom, and there, here it is.
Oh, really?
Boom.
We're just dismissing it
boom.
Now.
Deion Lewis has got to catch the ball. He's got to block. He's got to run out for passes deep, short.
Okay, if we're going to play that game, when you have Rob Gronkowski and Julian Edelman occupying all the secondary for you, it's not that hard.
No, my guy's a bigger surprise. He's better.
But the best part is 3-0, baby. Everything is great.
Tonight's show is brought to you in part by Fisher Plows, a whole new way to attack winter. Patriots Football Weekly is brought to you by Pepsi, official soft drink of the New England Patriots. You, your advisor, and Putnam, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork.
All right, it's question time here in PFW, and the first one comes from Robert Landis. He asked, is Deion Lewis in the doghouse? I noticed on a play, it looked like he was supposed to come out, but that he was signaling to not come out. This was on the goal line after the play. I don't remember him returning to the field.
I don't believe he is in the doghouse. I think he, Gronkowski, some other players, their reps were limited in the second half because they treated this blowout a little differently than they did a week earlier. You know, they gave James White some opportunities, and I think that's where you're at with him. He's a guy that when you get a chance to get him off the field, you do it. And Ivan Fears in this very room earlier this week talked about how they are very much happy with what they've gotten out of Deion Lewis. The only issue that has him on a short leash is the ball security. Other than that, they love what they've gotten, so I don't think he's in any
doubt. On our radio show this week, we were talking about biggest offensive surprise. Has to be Deion Lewis.
I would agree.
He might be one of the bigger offensive surprises in the NFL, not just on the Patriots. In terms of the yards from scrimmage he's put up through 3 weeks, very impressive.
Jay Bain says, if another team wanted to acquire Jimmy Garoppolo via trade, would you consider it, and what would you want in return?
To be honest with you, I wouldn't consider it right now because I think the Patriots need a backup quarterback. I think that unless you are going to get one in return somehow, I'm not just content to sign somebody off the street. If you had one of the former Patriot quarterbacks available right now, Brian Hoyer or Matt Castle, and you could use that as a stopgap, someone who already knows your system, then I'd be willing to do it. But otherwise, I feel like that would be really a risky thing to bring in someone fresh that doesn't really know the system and expect him to be insurance for Tom Brady.
What if Houston offered a first-round pick and Brian Hoyer?
I would absolutely do it for a first-round pick. I don't think anybody would give you a first-round pick for a backup quarterback, but under that scenario, I would do it. I don't think anybody would offer you a first-round
pick. Ron writes in, question about the linebackers. Can you explain what's going on with Mayo in his limited playing time?
I think he is clearly behind Dante Hightower and Jamie Collins at this point. They are essentially a two-linebacker team in most of their sets on defense, their various packages. And I think he's behind those two younger, faster, more athletic, more versatile guys. I'm not sure he's back to where he was. Whether he ever will be or not, I don't know. But he's almost like a run-stuffing linebacker now. They bring him in situations, the goal line or packages where he runs on with Alan Branch and some defensive tackles. So.
Right.
I think he's a sub-type player, and that sub-role is stopping the run, and we all know that it's a role that's kind of rare in the NFL.
James Siegel writes in, Andrews looks great at center. Stork was great at center. Can either play another position on the offensive line, and what will they do when Stork is ready to come back?
I love these questions. We talked about this earlier in the week on the radio show, too. I think Stork might have some versatility, but really they've both been centers. So Andrews talked to us a little bit during training camp. He didn't play any guard at all until he got here. He did a very little bit in the preseason and during some of the training camp stuff. But you're dealing with guys that don't have a lot of experience doing that. And by the way, I like the rookie guards, too. I like Jackson and Mason. So it might be a situation where Andrews would come out of the lineup when Stork comes back. We'll see. It's a good problem to have, though. All of a sudden, you have a lot of young depth at those interior offensive lines.
Imagine if you had three centers on the field at the same time and
they wouldn't even know who to cover.
Brady lines up behind different ones for different plays. Take the snap.
They wouldn't know who to cover.
Yeah, that would be new. They'd make a rule against
They change the rule next year because John Harbaugh would line up.
Exactly. All right, that's it for this week's questions. Every week, send them to askpfw@patriots.com.